We kick off hour number two of the program here live from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, completely remodeled by Triphase Construction. Quality, service, innovation, the Triphase. They've got you covered for commercial build-outs, commercial remodels, even projects from the ground up. Contact them today, triphaseconstruction.com for your commercial construction project, or call them 865-607-0015. That's 607-0015. It's Triphase Construction, and they've got you covered for all your commercial construction needs. Man, that was good stuff from Ryan Callahan. Just kills it. I mean, just flying through. Boom, boom, boom.
He's a recruiting encyclopedia. It's really remarkable.
How amazing it's been to go from, I don't know, it wasn't really like a low point because you won the game, but right, like immediately following the Charlotte game, you just feel like, good grief, like this team, this offense, this is just, we haven't really gotten anywhere. You felt like you had just kind of gone in a circle, you know, on offense. Like, it got a little better, got a little worse, we're just still stuck, and now you come out, you beat Kentucky's brains in, and over the same process, I know the Charlotte weekend is kind of where a lot of this recruiting stuff started to heat up, and I thought his answer about, like, why is it all happening now really shows maybe the strength of the Jeremy Pruitt coaching staff isn't so much on the field, isn't so much with schemes and game management. You know, it may be in the living room and on the telephone. I mean, I know as a Tennessee fan, there's the keep your cup on. I get all that. And I know the last time on the short, you know, with the short time to prepare, you got in with some five-star guys, some four-star guys late that you knew you might have a chance with, and a lot of those guys ended up going other places. But we said at the time, give this coaching staff a complete year, a year to build relationships. And Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, the one kind of promise he made to the fan base is, we're going to be near the top this time next year. And he's, at least to this point, delivering. And I'm not one of these people that I know with recruiting, it's all or nothing. You either get the player or you don't in each individual scenario. But as you look at a coach who's early in their tenure at a school, it's still good to know as a fan that they got in and had a real shot with a big-name guy. Even if they don't get that, if you can look at the whole picture, if they do pull some of the guys and miss on some of the guys, but you're recruiting at a level that is way above where your performance is as a team on the football field. I mean, that's just everything. And quite frankly, Tennessee's always been at their best when they're just bringing in Jimmys and Joes.
I agree with you, but you can't just window shop. You have 100%. To land some, right, eventually.
It's just different looking at one player and then looking at like 10 players. You know what I mean?
No, I agree 100%.
Yeah. You got to hit some percentage.
But in fairness, last year at this time, we were saying the same thing about, look at all the big names that are coming in. Wow, if they can land some of these guys. And frankly, they didn't really land that many.
Yeah.
And so I think the question for this year is, yeah, you're not going to get all of them, but can you get a few? Can you get a handful of those big, you know, high four and five star guys, those real team changers? Can you get some of them, and then can you continue to build relationships for next year's class and the year after that, and so on and so forth, to where you are stacking the type of talent that it's going to take to compete with the Georgias and the Alabamas in this league? I agree 100%. You will not sign them until you get them on campus. That said, you can't just get them on campus. You've got to close the deal, too. I think they're going to. I'm just simply saying that's the next step, because they did that last year. I mean, I think we were all surprised at the level of talent they were even getting to campus last year in such a short amount of time after being hired. But the visit list in January was sensational. It was really good. So can they get those type of visits this year? Yes, they are. They're proving that they can do that. Now the question is, can you slam the door on some of those guys that are going to come in and probably make an immediate impact on a team that has a chance to be decent next year? And the schedule certainly helps that. So that's the question for me. And obviously early enrollees are going to be a big part of it. How many of those guys can you get in, get through spring practice, and get ready for next season? I mean, I think if you look at this year, you've already seen a lot of freshmen on both sides of the ball help your football team in a big way. And maybe not even just freshmen, but first-year players. How much more would they have been helped by being able to come in last spring if you can get, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 guys in for spring practice? That would be astronomical. So how many can they get? Who are they? And then ultimately, again, I don't think it's so much about the rankings per se, but are you getting game-changing type players? Now, if, you know, if Southern Cal comes in and all of a sudden signs a top two class and bumps you down a peg, I don't really care about that. But where are you in relation to Georgia, to Florida, to South Carolina, and obviously Alabama? I mean, you play them every year. I think it's okay to kind of hold yourself to that standard a little bit. But are you right there at the top in the East? Are you second? Are you at least getting the type of players that will allow you to compete with Georgia and hopefully in a few years Alabama? That's the question. I mean, it happens every year where, you know, someone says, oh, they finished eighth nationally and sixth in the SEC. And that's fine, but especially considering where you are in the East right now, let's make sure we're obviously ahead of Missouri, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky, and then Florida, South Carolina, and right there with Georgia, even though right now, frankly, they're leaking a little bit, Georgia, yeah, on the recruiting trail.
That was interesting, too. Hard to keep all those big names happy all at the same time.
I think I mentioned it on the show. One of the reasons Hazelwood decommitted was he went on a visit and felt like the Georgia staff was paying more attention to Ramel Keaton, who was on a visit that weekend, too, than they were to him. And he's like, hey, I'm the best receiver in the country. Why are you guys schmoozing the Tennessee commit? And obviously it's because they're trying to flip the Tennessee commit, and they feel good about Hazelwood. It's ironic now that the guy he was jealous of getting the attention from the coaches, maybe jealous is the wrong word in a way, he may end up teaming up with him at Tennessee if things go well for the Vols. I mean, it wasn't that you were jealous of Keaton and mad at him. You were just like, hey, I'm committed to you. How about you guys show me a little love? He says, I'll go check out somewhere else.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the whole, like, peaking question is pretty fascinating, too. Like, it seems like if you really want to have, like, the ultimate, like, breaking records type of class, you almost have to dial it up where you get the right kids that you know won't flip early, and then the ones that you know are kind of flippant in general, that you ride them right till the end and don't really, like, you kind of build and then show them the love, as you say, right as they pull the hat out on signing day, so that there's no way they can then change their mind.
And I think they learned a lesson last year. Tennessee staff did. I think they learned that you can't let your foot up off the gas on a lot of these guys and just, you know, think, oh, it's okay. He's told me he's 100%, because Anthony Grant told you he was 100%. Jordan Young told you he was 100%. The guy who ended up going to Georgia who threw the hat, said his name the other day, the linebacker, doesn't matter.
I've wiped that guy from my memory.
But he told the staff, like, the night before, I'm 100%. Quay Walker.
Oh, that's it.
I'm not saying the staff got played, but I think that was probably a wake-up call to, you know what, we still need to stay on the guys that we've got and the guys that have told us they're 100%. You can't let up in this game, because the minute you're not on the phone with somebody – somebody else, some other coach is, right? They're calling him. They're texting him. They're telling him how great he is. They're telling him how big the dorm rooms are, right? How good the food is, how pretty the girls are. And so last year, too, let's not forget, the staff wasn't really familiar with Tennessee. They'd been here for like 10 days.
Yeah.
So now they've been here a while. They know what to sell. They know what works. They know what Tennessee can offer. I think that makes them more lethal, you know, in the living room, on the phone, on these visits. And I'm with Ryan, and I'm with Ryan because I listened to Ryan. But yeah, Tennessee's poised to close really, really well, and it could be one of those closes where you're just sitting back and baffled. I think it was Steve Wiltfong, the recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports. He said, early signing period, there may not be a school in the nation with more fireworks than Tennessee. They are poised right now.
Man.
So a strong finish like that, and we're having a very Merry Christmas.
Tennessee sits at 15th right now in the rankings. Will, if you missed the Ryan Callahan interview, and even if you listen to it, just to kind of pull this back together, we'll go down the list of the 10 players he had that could lead to a top 10 class for Tennessee on the flip side. Stick with us. right here as we talk recruiting at Fan Run Radio. Talking Tennessee recruiting, this segment's brought to you by Alumni Hall and AlumniHall.com.
I think the cold weather is like really here now.
I'm telling you, the blower on my driver's side went out. I'm freezing driving around even. It's awful.
You know, the walk from the parking garage to Thompson Bowling Arena is not that long, but on some of those nights, it's cold. Go to AlumniHall.com, select UT, and go get you like a hoodie or a zip-up or a jacket or one of those Sherpa fleecy things. I don't know what they're Sherpa, right? Isn't that what they're called?
Yeah, you start
Davey? Sherpy? Sherpy?
Sherpa.
Sharpie?
I don't know. That's
Sherpa?
Yeah.
Sherpa.
I can find out.
Sherpa. Also, don't forget
it's
to follow.
Not really in my wardrobe currently, but got to go to Alumni Hall.
I mean, all the girls wear them. I figured you would. I mean, I don't know if you should get it. I mean, some guys wear them. You can get one. I bet Alumni Hall would have. We'll be over near there today.
Sherpa?
Sherpa. I think it's Sherpa.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Sherpa.
Pretty sure.
Follow at Alumni Hall UT on Twitter. A lot of you listen because you see us on Twitter, or you're watching on Periscope because you saw it on Twitter, at Alumni Hall UT. They run specials all the time. They'll run a 20% off today only sale. They'll run a free shipping today only sale. They'll run a 35% off for the next 48 hours. If you're not following them, you're missing out on an opportunity to get some great deals on all the UT gear. I don't know when Tennessee is going to wear the throwback jerseys, but they've got those in stock at Alumni Hall. A lot of people I've seen have bought some that are going to go to the game in Brooklyn. I don't know, maybe that's where you bust them out. I'm not really sure. But all of this available and more for your home, for your car, for your office, for your tailgate, for your watch party, and obviously for going to the game, Alumni Hall and AlumniHall.com.
Yeah, and Christmas right around the corner.
So oh, yeah,
for
of
you
course.
And for everyone else.
Of course. Great point by Nate.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what they're going to do on Black Friday. Mercy.
That's right around the corner. I mean,
giving away the store.
I keep thinking, because it's only the middle of November, that like Thanksgiving is, you know, still pretty far away, like just in my head. But there's a whole week after in November this year because of the way the calendar falls, and it's just right around the corner. All right, so today is Punishment Wednesday. I have to eat a jalapeno and do a segment. I'm very thankful. I guess it won't matter because once I eat it, my mouth's going to be on fire the rest of the show. So it's not.
No, not the rest of the show.
But a while. It's not going to.
We got some Warheads for you to.
Oh, to wash it down with.
Yeah. Well, it'll take the hot out of your mouth.
All right.
And replace it with extreme sour.
Sure,
I mean,
that'll work.
I've got Spam jalapeno.
we still have
some French onion soup left. I bet the French onion soup would calm you right down.
We got to clean this place up.
I'd say,
it's so messy.
It's not all us, but a lot of it is. The food is us, because we're the gross show that eats weird things.
So next segment, I'll summarize all of the recruiting.
You're going to break down the recruiting.
I'm going to just summarize all of the recruits at once, courtesy of our friend Ryan Callahan at GoVols 24/7.
How are you going to do it? Are you just going to eat like the whole thing and then scarf it down and then start talking?
I didn't know if that was part of the rules.
I mean, the idea was you eat the whole thing and then start talking. It's not like a bite every now and then. That's why you're only doing it once instead of, you know. Or do you want to do? Do you want to do half of the jalapeno and do it twice? Do it now and then at 9:30, or do you want to just get it all?
I think you have to just do the whole thing.
Okay.
And you don't want me talking with food in my mouth, so I guess you'll intro the segment and people can hear me crunching down on it.
Yeah, we'll come back. You'll say hello, and then we'll start talking about.
Yeah. Then I'll start reading and talking and probably crying.
You're crying.
Oh yeah. No, I'm you know me, I'm a big crier. Like the tears will just flow. It's gonna be bad.
Well, this will be different.
Sweat,
different kind of
tears.
Crying.
It's gonna be awful.
Yeah, you probably need to take that jacket off. But at least
off.
You wore a branded shirt.
That's why I went branded t-shirt today, so I could make sure and you know.
So we've got to do the recruiting breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
It's already 8:30. The show has flown by thanks to the recruiting encyclopedia, Ryan Callahan. There was some big news out of Missouri yesterday that is going to help Tennessee in a very, very, very big way this weekend. They're going to be without a couple of guys. We'll tell you who those people are. I'm hoping by the top of the hour we can start to get to that, because that was some huge bombshells that dropped yesterday. You've got to eat the jalapeno, break down recruiting. I'd like to swing back to some basketball talk, maybe take some phone calls on what people thought of that game last night. It was something.
Yeah.
It was something. I just don't really know what.
Now, let me ask you one recruiting question before we kind of wrap it up next segment.
Okay.
I thought the Quaveris Crouch stuff was the most fascinating because that was something that...
In what way?
That Tennessee is one of only two SEC schools. Like he was the top player in the country, right, before the updated rankings, at least by some metric. Crouch, at some point, was the number one player in the country. I don't know if that was composite or 24/7 or different, whatever.
No, he was. You're right.
Callahan mentioned he's dropped like almost 30 spots. I think he's 28th now. South Carolina.
A lot of that is because he plays like two positions really well, but does he specialize in one enough to be considered, you know?
Yeah, he's banged up, and he's kind of he's at a couple different positions. He's listed as an athlete. I thought it was weird that Tennessee and South Carolina are the only SEC schools even really pushing for him now. You got Michigan and Clemson as the two leaders, and I don't know. I was talking to Davey about this in the break. It always seems like players from North Carolina, their recruitment can get weird because there's never like – I don't think I've ever heard a kid from North Carolina go, just wanted to stay in state and help my Tar Heels, you know, help my Wolfpack, Blue Devils. Like, that doesn't happen. So North Carolina kids, you know, it's weird. Michigan, a team like Michigan can get in it. Teams that are around North Carolina, I mean, South Carolina obviously tries to make a big push for those teams.
Sure.
Tennessee historically has raided North Carolina when they can. You know, Georgia, all these schools. So this whole Crouch thing is weird, and I wonder if, I mean, my hope is that Tennessee, maybe it's not this particular player, but you hope that they can land some of the can't-miss guys, but then they can also hit on some other guys that might fall through the cracks for various reasons, and then with development and just, you know, good evaluation, that they are the players that they at least are thought of by some.
Crouch is weird. I've kind of written him off, but I guess we'll see.
Don't you think Pruitt is the
just me
type of guy, though, that could take a player that other people might kind of
pull
on a little bit and say, buddy, I'll find you a spot on my defense to wreak havoc.
One thing if you're a guy like Crouch and you're looking at Tennessee. Again, I don't know if Tennessee has a legitimate chance, but Pruitt has shown he will move guys around a lot and try to find their best place.
I think that's one reason you might have a chance. He seems to listen to the players, too. It's
I
not
agree.
Just like, no, Jeremy Banks, I know you say you want to play linebacker, but come on, dude, get real. Stay at running back. You'll be fine. We'll get you some time later. You know, I mean, they're like, you want to try running back or linebacker? Yeah, here, try it a little bit. Oh, we got some injuries at running back. Let's go back.
Yep.
I mean, we know players just want to be on the field, most of them. You know, I mean, some of them have thoughts about one particular position and just love that spot and want to be in that spot. But most players would switch if it meant more playing time.
Crouch is expected to announce his commitment on January the 5th. I think that's the Army All-American game. It's one of those games that they have because there are several players that are expected to announce on that date. But right now,
I believe he's an Army All-American.
Right now, he's got 14 crystal ball projections or predictions, and all of them are to Clemson.
Good for Dabo. Whatever. Didn't want him anyway.
It's just weird, strange. I mean, it's getting weird with a lot of these guys, and where Tennessee is, that has to be a good thing. It just has to be. All right, I will I'll run down the 10 recruits on the flip side after eating a jalapeno. That's next. We'll get to the phone lines coming up next.
Excellent.
We'll circle back around to these topics that just lots to get to on the program. So stick with us right here. It's Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This segment brought to you by Einstein Bros Bagels, and they're 100%.
Ooh, a farmhouse today would be amazing.
Caribou Coffee. It's the official coffee of 3 and Out.
And it is delicious.
It is. Got some back there waiting on me after I consume this jalapeno.
What did you bring in for your chaser?
I brought
your,
some milk.
Your coolant?
I brought some milk.
If you will.
Yeah. Bear was already texting
me. What percentage?
I think it was 2%. That's just what we had at the house.
Should have gone whole.
Should have gone whole, yeah.
Should have gone whole.
You drinking 2% because you think you're fat? You could be drinking whole if you wanted.
I just poured what was in the refrigerator.
It's a Napoleon Dynamite quote.
Yeah, no.
I used to get in trouble for dropping random quotes. This guy.
It's true.
This guy.
So.
So I have you one entire jalapeno.
Mm-hmm.
It is just starting to get the little stress marks on it. I don't really know what that means. If it makes it hotter or colder. It usually does that right before it turns red. When it turns red, it actually gets a little bit sweeter.
Oh.
So.
So you've this, got to time this up
this
just
This could
right.
be. Well, I don't know. I just. All the other ones were either really, really small or huge. And I don't know. I used to grow jalapenos at my house.
Yeah.
And whatever is in the dirt in my backyard made them incredibly, incredibly spicy. I did not have any homegrown jalapenos for you today. These are just run-of-the-mill Kroger jalapenos.
Is that true? The dirt you grow it in determines how spicy it can be?
I would imagine. I mean, what else is it that it would have? I mean, I don't think it's like
dirt.
It's like grapes, depending on the Bloody, climate and the dirt.
The nutrients in the dirt are, like that's are, what, are the that's fuel what, for plants. Yeah. That's why some are bigger.
That's why
than
corn
smaller.
Won't grow on Rocky Top, man. We're like, what are you talking about? Like the composition of the soil,
the acidity,
yeah, is what allows certain trees and plants to grow in some areas and not in others. And then I would say the nutrient balance in the soil itself probably leads to how hot or sweet or like that damn onion you got me might have been grown in some dirt in my backyard because that thing was spicy as heck. I mean, look it up. I don't know. But I would say, without question, the soil would have something to do with, you know.
I mean, not technically the dirt, but all the stuff that's in dirt that makes it, you know, able to grow stuff, yes. That's
has to.
The whole point.
Has to.
That's just science.
I understand the simple science behind it, just the spiciness of the jalapeno.
I don't know about that.
I would
I'm
imagine
sure
that
some part of the flavor has
I would
to
imagine
be.
That the same seed planted in soil X versus soil Y would absolutely affect the level of spice with, I mean, the spice doesn't all just like, it's not contained in one seed. It has to generate the spiciness, and it does that by nutrients from the soil, right? Has to. Someone asked if this is a pickled jalapeno. No, this is we're men on this show. This is a real deal.
No, it's gonna be bad.
Jalapeno. Are you ready? Like, do you want to, should we hit the Survivor music before he breaks this down? What do you think, Davey? Eye of the Tiger or the SEC Survivor?
Yeah, probably the
drums and djembe.
We'll go with the theme for SEC Survivor.
Okay. Thank you for the excitement.
All right, are you going to talk as I eat this?
Or
do we just want people to hear the
I mean, are you
going to
take
crunch?
Forever? Like, what's your plan here on this jalapeno?
No, I'm just going to bite into it and go, you know.
Hit the music, Davey.
3 bites? 4 bites? What do you think?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
or two.
People don't eat this part, right? You just eat it right there.
No. You can break it off. I cut it off. Whatever. Yeah.
I wonder how the bed with shooting stars both playing at the same time would sound.
Maybe, no, shooting stars. Cut this. Stop it. Just stop the music immediately. I want shooting stars as he tries to read through.
I should play all of it and then add in the arms of an angel.
I'm gonna eat.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right. So you're gonna find shooting star. Start. What are you doing? What are you waiting on? First bite. Let's hear it. Oh, that's a crunchy jalapeno. Now, I would not wait too long between bites because otherwise.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know how I'm going to do this.
Wait. You're giving up after one bite?
No. I mean,
physically?
I'm going to eat it. I don't know if I can talk.
You have to talk. That's the punishment.
I'm going to drive.
That's the punishment. Well, I'll admire the effort, I suppose.
Hang on. Just let me get I'll get it going in a second. Oh, the tears are already coming.
A little louder on that, if you don't mind. How does it taste? Like, is it a good flavor of a jalapeno, at least?
No.
Would you say not a good flavor? Not a good flavor?
What type of soil do you think it was grown in?
If you'll just hold it up real quick. You're doing really well. I'd say one more little bite. You can leave, obviously, a little space around the cap. I don't want you to eat, you know, wood or something. But, yeah, do that, and then we'll get you rolling. How, I mean, is it hot? Is it a hot one?
Oh, dude, it's on fire, dude.
Okay, well, good. Oh, dude. Right, go ahead. Oh, he ate way more than I thought he would. Way more. I'm impressed. Okay, the 10 recruits remaining on Tennessee's board.
Man.
Let's hear it.
Hang on, one second.
Gary, on the kick drum, come.
I just got to get the mouth at least cleaned out. Oh, man. Tennessee's 2019 recruiting class. Currently ranks number 15 nationally in the industry generated 24/7 sports composite team rankings.
The faster you read is not going to make the heat go away.
I know.
Well, I know. You might get to milk. My mistake.
Ah, but with the early signing day still more than a month away, the Vols class could look quite a bit differently by the time signing day arrives. I got to at least wipe my mouth. So I don't.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I got drunk on that side.
Go.
First year.
And then the drum strap back.
I'm getting to the players. Darn it. Darnell Wright, 5-star offensive tackle, Huntington, West Virginia. Huntington High School. Ooh. I'm starting to see stars. I'm not kidding.
Oh,
5-star offensive tackle, Wanya Morris, the nation's number one offensive tackle. In the 24/7 sports composite, has been committed to Tennessee since May.
Need a bucket?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Go get
drink some milk. Drink. I feel bad now. I don't want you to, you know, reversal of fortune here.
And the Vols still appear to have a legitimate chance at landing right. The nation's number two offensive tackle to go along with.
Was that a tear? You had to wipe?
Wright has visited Tennessee at least a handful of times since last year, most recently attending the Vols game September 22nd against Florida.
Are you only on the first player?
Well, I'm reading the article.
Okay,
I should
good.
Just run down the
good.
Players. They're still believed to be one of the favorites to land him, with Alabama and others in the running. Jadon Haselwood, 5-star wide receiver, Cedar Grove High School.
Wide receiver, you come on back.
Ellenwood, Georgia.
A little
sinuses are going.
A little tear wipe. Oh, yep, we got the sinuses.
Man,
it'll clear you right out.
Owen
Papa,
like
a wasabi.
5-star linebacker, Grayson High School, Loganville, Georgia. He's committed to Auburn, but their season's in the tank. Brian Callahan told us that might be the reason you get in back in with him. One of the big reasons. And, of course, he's from Grayson High School. They're going for the Grayson trifecta.
Oh, I called him the trio. I guess I missed out.
Corvarius Crouch, we talked about him.
Corvarius Crouch,
Tiger
Hidden Dragon.
Athlete.
Ooh, I just got a whiff of a jalapeno. I'm burning my eyes a little bit. Man, this is bad.
Henry Tuo.
I didn't get punished. I don't deserve this.
5-star linebacker, De La Salle High School. Concord, California.
Has the heat diminished at all?
A little bit, but.
That's great.
It's lingering.
Good. Yeah, it's gonna.
Justin Aboybe.
Someone said only one jalapeno is weak.
Do you see my face right now? You think I could even make myself do this? 5-star defense in Morris Park, Georgia. Whew. Kenyatta Watson. 4-star.
Kenyatta Watson.
Defensive back.
Mr. Yatta.
High School, Watson. Loganville, Georgia. The trifecta. Eric Gray. They need a running back. Got to have a running back.
He's the guy.
Memphis, Tennessee.
They going to get him, Nate?
I think they will. I think this is the guy. This is the running back.
Memphis what?
Tennessee.
There you go.
Coffrey Brown. I don't know if I said that right. 4-star.
Coffrey, I think.
Coffrey. Like Joffrey, but
Coffrey. Joffrey, but Coffrey. That's the way I think of it.
It's burning in the chest now.
Chad says, hearing you talk after the jalapeno is how he sounded talking about Tennessee football last
4-star
year.
4-star wide receiver. West Mecklenburg High School, Charlotte, North Carolina. Can I spit into the trash can? Do you mind?
No, I don't mind. Yeah, go for it. I don't know. That is removing some of the heat from the mouth.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're probably going to have to do a second jalapeno now that I think about it.
Did
you lose your place?
No.
You got to Coffrey Brown.
That's the 9th one.
Oh, number 10. You're almost done.
Well, I skipped over. Who did I skip over? I skipped over John Emery.
Well, he's committed to LSU.
Ryan Callahan said he could still flip back. Still lots of time left.
There's hope.
There is your 10 recruiting play or 10 recruits who could help Tennessee sign a top 10 class. I guess the next question is how many are committing and signing on the early signing period. It is getting a little bit better now.
Good.
But
Yeah, that's the good thing about a jalapeno. It's not going to kill you, and it's not going to last forever, but it'll get you there for a little bit. George Aval says he wants habaneros next time. I think that's a habanero. Right? Isn't that a habanero? They look like little pumpkins.
I don't know. I can barely see.
No, it's the tears. You're fine. That's good. That's just your body trying to clean the heat out of your eyes. That's what happens when you get your face. Pepper spray. It's just your face. So
it was a seed stuck in an upper corner.
Oh, don't chew on that. It'll just release the heat again. How how would you rate this challenge as compared to what were his other challenge? The nacho cheese,
spray
the baby
tan.
Foods. Well, spray tan. It didn't hurt or anything. Nacho cheese, baby food, spray tan. What was the other? What was
The vinegar was the worst.
Vinegar was worse than this?
There's no way I was going to drink all the vinegar.
It burned his throat.
I don't know if it was the vinegar or if it was getting rid of the vinegar. I think it was getting rid of the vinegar that burned his throat. You should have just baby sipped it. Just.
I did that for a while, but it's just too much.
There's only three cups. Little cuppies. So it's better now?
No, it's just
setting. It's just settling in.
Yeah.
Well, it's been enough time. If you want to grab your milk, you can do that.
All right.
You want to hit a break? Let him drink his milk.
Does that sound good? I feel like I should not touch the milk until the commercial starts. So
yeah. Oh
well, then let's run this to the top of the hour.
No. It's time for a break. So
oh okay.
Kick it.
Yeah.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox. I still get it. You're going to have to do this segment.
What do you mean do this segment? You're good. Where's your milk? Get your milk. You're good. We got to recap what you just did. I mean, that was a great job. You nailed it, man. You downed the jalapeno quickly, completely. Honestly, probably more than I thought you were going to eat. You delivered a comprehensive recruiting update. And now... You're good. You even said during the break that the heat was going away.
Talking makes it worse. If I could just sit here, it'd be a lot better.
Well, that's the thing with the jalapeno. It does last a little bit. But it's not, I mean, you're coming out of it. You're doing good. Should we go back to hoops, or do you want to talk about the outs for Missouri this weekend? Anyone? Hello? Am I alone in here? David, is your microphone working? Are you tindering?
No.
Is
Missouri.
Yes, then no.
Missouri?
To answer your question.
Thanks, Dave. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about Missouri's tight end, Okugbukum. I seriously don't know how to say his name. I've never heard it pronounced, and that's the best I can do after trying to read it. He's the leading receiver for the Missouri Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
43, I think, catches on the season. He'd been playing well. Let's see here. I believe 4 catches, 46 yards, and a touchdown against Florida. And then I don't remember who this was against, but he had 6 catches, 159, and 3 touchdowns.
Was it Purdue?
Is that what it was? No, this is lately. He's been balling. Albert Obukum. We'll just call him Alberto. Anyway, he's out this weekend. Barry Odom announced yesterday that he, wide receiver Nate Brown, and cornerback Adam Sparks are all now out for the Tennessee football game this weekend. This is a huge break for Tennessee. Their receivers are good. Albert Obukum was sensational. Truly one of the best tight ends in our conference. And the fact that Tennessee, who has not faced, as we talked about yesterday, has not faced a dominant tight end this year, now that they don't have to play him, they get a bunch of guys back in the secondary, including Bryce Thompson, who seems like he's going to be back and healthy. They get Trayvon Flowers back this weekend. Obviously, you got Osborne coming in relief for Thompson, who played really well, so you feel good about depth there. You also got Micah Abernathy back against Kentucky. I believe he was leading the team in tackles going into the half. Tennessee's secondary, seemingly healthy and playing their best football, which is good timing because you're going against Missouri, one of the best passing offenses in the conference, and they now announce they are going to be without their leading pass catcher.
Okwegbukum.
That's basically exactly what I've been saying. Are you trying to actually pronounce it? Because you're sounding like me pretending to try to announce it.
Okwegbukum.
You've said it different every time.
Okwegbukum.
Okwegbukum. I like my version.
Well, I'm looking at a phonetic pronunciation.
But with his name, that really doesn't help you because it's still confusing. There's got to be. I mean, I need.
There's
to,
a video. On
I need
YouTube.
To hear somebody saying it, and then I would know. But it really doesn't matter. The whole point of this segment is that he's not playing this weekend. An absolutely huge bit of news for Tennessee as they try to. I mean, they could secure the bowl this weekend with a win over Missouri. And also, Adam Sparks, the corner, if I'm not mistaken, their leading tackler in the secondary. Their secondary has not been very good anyway, and now you take away their leading tackler. I would say this is a pretty big deal, a pretty big spot of news for Tennessee ahead of the game against Missouri this weekend, especially considering all that Tennessee has on the table this Saturday at 3:30 CBS kick. A win, you're going bowling, you get to go to Nashville at that point and try to secure a 7-win regular season, which, frankly, not a lot of people thought was possible. And this game has certainly just opened up. I'm anxious to see what the line does. It got all the way up, I believe, to 6 yesterday. Does that start to now move back quickly and sharply in Tennessee's favor, or is this perhaps still just not quite enough to give Tennessee the edge in the eyes of the gamblers? But as you're getting healthy in the secondary and playing well to get this news for this game, I'm not celebrating injury on anyone, but the fact that these players are absent for this game is an absolutely huge deal for Tennessee. Nate Brown on the season, the wide receiver that I mentioned, 12 catches, 129 yards, no touchdowns. According to yardage, he's their 6th leading receiver, but again, only 12 catches. As I mentioned, Albert Okwabunam, I will go with that for now, 43 catches on the year, 466 yards, 6 touchdowns with a long of 58. He's not just a big body who gets in space, catches it, and falls down. This is a guy who can run, he can hit, he can create matchup nightmares. Him being out of the game allows you to now focus on Jonathan Johnson, Jalen Knox, and Emmanuel Hall at receiver. And I'd say this allows you to probably take advantage of some protection issues with him out, because now you know that the next tight end isn't as good. You feel good about covering him. And if you blitz the new tight end when he's in to block and protect, may be able to take advantage and get to the quarterback a little bit more. Huge news for Tennessee this weekend, in my opinion. Truly maybe a game-changing announcement yesterday by Barry Odom that Albert O, Nate Brown, and the safety – just burp into the microphone. Disgusting. And Adam, what are you doing? Don't do that.
Turn away.
Well, I mean, you could excuse yourself or something. And corner Adam Sparks out this weekend for Missouri. Disgusting.
If you're just tuning in, I'd eat a jalapeno last segment. I'm not just.
I don't think anyone's just tuning in
into the microphone.
What jalapeno?
Sure.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about? Seriously.
I didn't bring enough milk.
I don't know what to tell you, man. You knew what was happening.
I know,
today.
I know.
You knew what was happening.
I'm just
today.
Glad I brought
some.
Just go
chug the Almond Joy creamer in the back.
It's coconut. It'd probably help in a big
bad
way.
Idea.
I mean, leave me some. I use that for my coffee.
Yeah. No, this is huge. This is huge. Now you just have to focus on the receivers. You don't have to worry about doing anything special for the tight end.
And their bad secondary just got way worse.
Yeah. It's massive.
All right, we'll go to break. We'll go to break. It's massive as he leaves the room, basically.